The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. I've just read you a verse from Deuteronomy 33:27. And I've been telling you a little bit about the trip that Lars and I had to Kenya in 1991 and 92. It was a tremendous experience to be asked to be a speaker at a student convention in Nairobi, where there were 1,800 African students from many different countries, students who were interested in foreign missionary work. We usually think of sending missionaries to Africa. I want you to know that in Africa, they are sending out hundreds of missionaries to other countries. I think it's amazing what has been happening in Africa, and I've heard some incredible statistics about the number of Christians in that great continent now. So pray for Africa. And I do want to thank you for praying for me. And I was so thankful that I had said yes to the invitation to Africa, which was a difficult decision because overseas trips do take a lot of time. That particular trip took almost 2 weeks. In fact, I think it was exactly 2 weeks out of my time at home, which means that there's quite a pileup of work when I get back. But I was so thankful that I had said yes to that invitation, thankful for the shepherd's guidance. The Lord is my shepherd. And I had told you how anxious I was about the uncertainty of some of the travel arrangements. Well, everything worked just like clockwork. And as I was thinking back over the year of 1991 on that last day, December 31st, I was thankful for all the way that my Savior had led me. And I thought of the scripture verse that says, "There hath not failed one word of all thy good promises." Jesus said to his disciples, "When I sent you out, did you lack anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Well, December 31st was Valerie's due date for her seventh child. You can imagine that I was a little anxious to find a telephone that worked where we could call. We finally were able to call from the Africa Inland Mission home, and they told us how to go about it and all this. It really was amazing to find out that there were certain kinds of phone calls we could not make from the hotel where we were staying. So we finally got through to Valerie on January 1st by our date and asked if there was any news of the baby. She said that the baby had not come, that the doctor said it was in lateral position, wanted to do a cesarean. She declined. She and her husband declined and said, "No, we're going to wait a little bit, see what the Lord may have in mind." And on that day, the baby was in breech position. Well, that's not good news either. But that was the last news that I had on January 1st. In fact, I didn't know any more until we got back to the States on January the 6th. So I was praying that day and wrote in my journal, "Lord, thy will, thy way, thy best for dear Val. Spare her, I pray, the surgery or the agony of a breech, and cause the baby to do a flip, Lord, if that would glorify you." My Bible tells me that I'm to make my requests known to God. And so that was certainly my request, and I was able to leave it in God's hands in peace. So here's my journal, January 1st. Left Nairobi at 7:45 after a breakfast at the mission house. Passed beautiful houses, embassies, gardens, plantations of banana and avocado, pastures, fields of corn, stands of evergreen, red soil. St. Julian's Church brought to mind her "All Shall Be Well." We passed a little church that was called St. Julian's, and of course I thought of St. Julian of Norwich, whose words, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well," are one of the watchwords of my life. I believe that. For Val, whatever the appearance of things, it shall be well. That's what I wrote in my journal. We climbed for a long time. It was the very worst road that I have ever traveled, for a number of miles. Built in 1943, our driver told us, by the Italians, and never repaired since. Well, I thought I'd seen some bad roads in Ecuador. This one beat all those. Sudden sight of the great Rift Valley, which Lars tells me runs up through the Dome of the Rock and to Mount Ararat. A stupendous vista. Small boys roast corn over fires at the worst spots in the road where we are forced to slow down to a crawl. They offer the corn and tiny red plums for sale. The newspaper reports a false corpse, a fake corpse floating in a river in Nairobi, placed there by pickpockets to draw a crowd. A large family of baboons appears in the road. The mother tosses the baby to the father. He glowers at us in a rather benign way and walks on his knuckles. We descend to the plain. We begin to see the Maasai. That's the name of a very large tribe of Africans. We begin to see the Maasai in their brilliant red and orange clothes, tall, self-possessed, usually smiling at us in hopes of being photographed, for which they would charge. The flat plain, the thorn and acacia trees so familiar from pictures. 9:15 a.m. We see a secretary bird, giraffes, zebra, hartebeest, Thompson's gazelles, Grant's gazelles with very long horns. A small boy seated on the great plain with perhaps 75 cows. What does he think about? Has he an ambition? We stop at a curio shop, the tourists, the first fat people we've seen in Kenya. A Maasai drives a big tractor. Seems incongruous. A woman is all dressed up in a dress and a city hat. She walks along the road like everyone else. The Maasai, always with a stick. Hundreds of zebras. Thousands of wildebeests. Zebra with foal. A zebra rolling in the dust. At 11:10 a.m., 6 giraffes, 10 elands. 11:30, 2 golden-crowned cranes. 12:20, 3 elephants, posing most beautifully under the shade of a tree. Hard to believe they're real. Another secretary bird, a topi. In a thicket, suddenly about 10 lions, very sleepy. 12:45, 3 giraffes. Now, I guess I haven't described to you that we are in a van, Lars and I, and the van has a roof that raises, so you can raise the roof and stand up. The driver took us right over. He would just drive off the road right over toward the animals, and to my incredulity, the animals didn't move. It was just incredible. Zebras necking, as horses do, standing side by side, one facing north, one south, chins across the other's mane. We reach Fig Tree Camp, about 12:50. We have a cabin with a bathroom. Many nationalities here. Elaborate lunch, siesta. 4 o'clock, another game ride. 4:10, a hyena, big fluffy ears, straight out to the sides. A rather sheepish, sappy expression. Guinea hens with blue necks. 4:30, 8 lions, playing, flopping in the grass, pacing slowly, oblivious to the 6 vans that surround them. We stand with head and shoulders out of the roof. Someone in the next van suggests, "Would somebody please get out and walk over there? We'd get much better pictures." Cape buffalo with yellow-billed oxpeck, that's the name of a bird, on their heads, in their eyes, and in their nostrils. 300 to 500 buffalo in one herd. Lars spotted an elephant. We drove over to him. He moved politely toward us. 5:25, an ostrich, striding purposefully across the plain. 2 silverback jackals, 1 warthog. Well, I'm not going to read you the whole list of the animals we saw, because it goes on and on and on. 7 o'clock, we saw young Maasai men dance for us at the camp, a strange lion-like noise, short shrieks, high jumps, a strange song. And we remembered that on that day, January 1st, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics no longer existed. 6:30 the next morning, we take a long drive to find a dead baby zebra in a tree, killed yesterday by a leopard, seen by a tour group whose van was attacked by the leopard. A rather scary ride, nearly bogging down several times. We got stuck. We find the poor baby zebra. What a job it must have been for the leopard to drag it up so high in the tree. No signs of the leopard. I could go on and on. Monkeys eat dead and dying beetles outside of our tent. We had been moved the next day into a tent, which had, can you believe this, a real bathroom attached to the back. Hot and cold running water, a shower, a toilet. Well, I guess they know their clientele. Americans have got to have it all. So it sort of took the joy out of imagining that we might be roughing it for a little while. There was certainly no roughing it at Fig Tree Camp. Amazing trip to Africa. Tomorrow I'll tell you a little bit more about our visit to Kenya, and I'll give you the news about Valerie's baby.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.